Hi, I'm going to do another legislative group teaching, this time looking at different aspects of legislation from Thrones of God. What is legislation? Well, the process of making or enacting laws, and we've looked a lot of that. What is it to legislate, to use the laws that we've made or the legislation that has been produced to provide authority, to create, prepare, rule, to provide for something? So it's an active process of engaging and using that. We legislate from thrones or seats of government. And it is those seats of government that God wants us to understand how, where, what do we do from those positions. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. So everything that's God is prepared to equip us and enable us to fulfill our destiny is available to us in the heavenlies. So we need to be in a position to access those blessings and to fulfill and outwork those blessings to able to fulfill our destiny. Ephesians 2:6, and he's raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Now, a lot of people will just see that as a positional thing. It's not real, but we are in Christ. We have access to the heavenly realms. He has seated us in positions of authority, or giving us positions of authority that we can be seated in, but we have to access that. And we're learning different aspects of that and different aspects of where we're seated. And where does someone in authority get seated? Depending on what their role is. We would call it a throne. We could call it a bench. We could call it a seat of government. Lots of different aspects of that. So a throne's definition is a chair occupied as by a monarch as a mark of rank or distinction on state or ceremony occasions. A lot of what we do in the realms of heaven is not a state or ceremonial occasion. There are some things that we engage in honoring and worshiping God, but a lot of what we do is governmental. And it's not just a mark of something, because monarchs mostly now don't have absolute power. They work through a government. And as God is the king, Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he works through a government and we're part of that government, and he's given us positions where we occupy those things depending on what we do and what we're called to do in different places. So thronos is the Greek word for seat or throne, from the root word bench, which is where we get our bench of three from, a governmental place of judgment and government and legislation. Hebrew, kisei, seat of honor, throne. There's another Hebrew word, kosei, which also can be translated throne. The Greek form, or the Hebrew functional purpose. And this is the key. We're not so much looking at what the thrones look like. We're not so much looking at what the thrones are decorated like, or there can be some symbolic nature to how they view, but what is their function? What is the purpose or function of a throne or a seat of government or a bench? Power, dominion, kingly power, royalty, all descriptions of what goes on in a position of government. The place of rulership or government, the place where legislation is at work. Psalm 9:4, you have sat on the throne judging righteously. So there's an aspect of being on a throne which is to do with judging, making verdicts, decisions, and it must be done righteously. That means in love. Psalm 9:7, he has established his throne for judgment. Psalm 89:14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Now, a lot of people talk about justice, they don't talk about judgment, but they get completely misunderstood because they're confused by what we see as justice from an earthly perspective rather than what it is from a heavenly perspective. And the key in this is, as they're the foundations of the throne of God, righteousness and justice, The next line, loving kindness and truth go before you. So every decision that's ever made from a throne in heaven is operated from loving kindness, covenant love, and truth. Those are the things that go before every judgment. So every judgment is made from God's love and his desire for relationship with us. Therefore, it's always an opportunity to choose life. So his judgments create a verdict that enables people to choose the right side of the verdict. So it's like he makes a judgment, it draws a line in the sand, and then he invites people to step over the line into the truth of that judgment, and justice is outworked from that perspective. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So there are thrones and dominions, rulers, authorities, all those things carry the same connotation of positions of governmental authority, and they've all been created by him for him. So even the principalities and powers and all those things have been created by him, because they're not bad. They're positions of government occupied by the wrong things. The key is who or what is on the throne. That is the key to everything. So when we look at a throne, it's not so much what it's about, but who's on it, because that is where the rulership takes place. An empty throne has no power. It's a throne that's occupied, or someone seated in it, that's the key. And we need to look at the different thrones and see who's on them. Genesis 1:41-40 is the first mention of throne in the Bible. And first law of first mention, we need to look at what it's talking about. And this is in relation to Joseph and Pharaoh. You shall be over my house. Well, that sort of ties into Zechariah 3, that we will rule over his house. And according to your command, having charge of the courts, all my people shall do homage. So the desire here in this was that Pharaoh would be worshipped because of Joseph's position of government. Now, isn't that very similar to what God has given us the authority to do, to bring the ministry of reconciliation, that God's enemies would be turned into his footstool, that it would come into relationship with him? Only in the throne will I be greater than you. So in a sense, our thrones are in subservience or obedience or obedience to God's throne, but that doesn't mean that we do not have authority and we don't have a throne. So just like Joseph was given authority by Pharaoh under his government, then we are also given authority by God under his government. But we have governmental authority. So the first mention is represents us, like Joseph, in relation to creation and the throne of God, in that he has given us authority to bring creation back into its correct position of being in relationship with him. Isaiah 6:1, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty, exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. And the one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And this temple position where Isaiah came is a key thing for the function of that throne in that position, in that temple, is for the earth to be full of his glory. That's the whole intention of that. There are other thrones in other positions who have other functions, but this throne is about that. The train of his robe sparkles, and every time it sparkles, there is a release from Satan's trophy room of another destiny, another diamond, another facet of him being released and coming back into relationship. That is the rejoicing when one is lost is found. And this is where the earth is going to be full of the glory of God, when the glory of the children of God is manifested as sons on the earth, then it will come through us. So every person who comes out of darkness into light and is transferred from that realm into God's kingdom is a new person for the glory of God to fill the earth. And they are seeing it from the whole earth is full of his glory. So they're seeing it from this is already fulfilled in the heart and mind and purpose of God in what was. Therefore, it now only has to be outworked. And then Isaiah responds to the coals of the altar, and he hears the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Who will go for us to do what? To bring the glory of God into the earth, so that the glory of God is full, the earth is full of his glory. And it comes in our glory, our reflection of sonship into the earth. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? So that the whole area of this throne is a position of commissioning the glory of God to fill the earth in various different ways. And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And that is the reflection of I am. God, I am that I am. And here Isaiah says, am I? And that's the reflection that we are to be, to bring the glory of God into the earth when we are engaging in positions of authority. The Lord is sitting on the throne, and therefore he calls us to be seated on thrones to administer that and outwork that glory through our lives as a gateway of heaven into the earth. Isaiah 9:7, there will be no end to the increase of his government and of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom. Now again, the throne of David and his kingdom are terms symbolic of the throne of God and the nature of God. And there will be no end. It will increase and increase to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness. Again, the foundations of his throne from then on and forevermore. Now, that means this is not going to end. From ages to ages, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will encompass this. So there is going to be an increase. Therefore, there it will continue. And there's all sorts of connotations of what that means. But in reality, it's to do, again, with the throne and the kingdom, because the throne and the kingdom go together. And understanding thrones, you have to understand kingdom and understand how the rule and reign of God is at work from the throne. Isaiah 14:13. Now this is talking about the enemy's desire. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. And this is often referred to as Lucifer, whose desire was to ascend. Now it says, what does it say? I will raise my throne, the position. And he had a position of authority above the stars of God. Well, who are the stars of God? The enemy's desire for authority is to be above the angelic realm and above man, and who are both called stars in the word of God. And there's a position, therefore, over the created order that Satan wanted. Isaiah 16:15, a throne will be established in loving kindness, and a judge will sit on it in faithfulness in the tent of David. Moreover, he will seek justice and be prompt in righteousness. Now that sums up an understanding of how a throne must function. Loving kindness, covenant love, hesed, is a key term in understanding the nature and character of God and how he reaches out to us to draw us back into relationship. A judge will sit on that throne in faithfulness. In other words, he will be faithful to fulfill the establishment of that throne's government in the tent of David. Now, we talk about David's tabernacle, David's tent, which means an open access to God. Moreover, he will seek justice, and justice is the outworking of a judgment, and be prompt in righteousness, which is the heart and motive and desire for all judgment and all government, is to bring righteousness, to bring people back into a right relationship with God, in which they express the nature, character of God. Every people group, every family of the earth, there to demonstrate what it is to be in relationship with God and outwork that relationship. Zechariah 3:6, yes, it is he who will build the temple of the Lord. He will bear the honor and sit and rule on his throne. Thus he will be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace will be between the two offices. Now it's really important, again, you see an arc here between two offices, the royal priesthood. So there's the priest and the king working together in complete union in a heavenly arc to outwork things on the earth. And again, this is symbolic of the nature of the rule of a throne. And it must be a priestly and a kingly function, those two offices working together, which is why we are called a royal priesthood. That's why the order of Melchizedek starts with a king and priest, a lion and a coming together, a man coming together to outwork that priesthood of all believers to fulfill the heavenly aspect, so that the ark produces a window for a manifestation on the earth of the prophetic and apostolic carrying the word of God and the legislation of that word to establish that as a foundation on the earth, as a reflection of heavenly government, to be a bench or a royal priesthood in heaven, apostolic prophetic foundations on the earth, as it talks about in Ephesians 2. Matthew 19:28. And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, that you have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you will sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So here's Jesus talking about his throne and talking about other thrones that are going to be given, that are representing 12, representing the fullness of apostolic government, judging again, but not just now God judging, but people judging. He was talking to the disciples about what was coming in terms of understanding the nature of judgment. And he talked in terms that they would understand. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Now that took place at the resurrection into the ascension, where Jesus came to engage the Ancient of Days and receive the throne and be seated. And all the angels were there, all the cloud of witnesses were there to welcome him. It's like this is not his second coming. This was him going back into the realms of heaven and be lifted up within the cloud so that he could take his position in the heavenlies. Daniel 7 is where we see this fulfilled, and we see our thrones established waiting for us, because it wasn't just one throne that was established, as we'll see. It was many thrones that were established and outworked. Daniel 7:9, I kept looking until the thrones were set up. Those thrones were for Jesus and for all those who would be seated with him in heavenly places. And this area, this throne, is above the river of fire. It is where the firestones are. It is connected to the destiny of mankind, to the outworking of where we're seated in heavenly places. The Ancient of Days took his seat. His vesture was like white snow, the hair of his head pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames. Its wheels were a burning fire. We know that the river of fire went out from that throne. Verse 13, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man, coming. Now again, we think about it coming from heaven to earth. He'd already come from heaven to earth. This is his coming back from earth to heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. So for all ages to come, this kingdom is in perspective. Now, when you read Daniel, you read the language of different kingdoms symbolically within the statue that had the gold and the silver and the bronze and the feet of iron and clay. Those were the earthly kingdoms that now this kingdom had come to establish and to overrule, so that now the kingdom was received back. The king of this world, or the prince of this world, or the power of the air, had now given up, because now Jesus was come back through resurrection, through what he did on the cross, and embraced his position in the kingdom, was given dominion. And it will continue to increase and increase and increase in all the ages to come. Verse 18, but the saints of the high one, the highest one, will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever for all ages to come. So now Jesus, who has been given that authority, is now giving that authority to us, to his people. Verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one, and the time of arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom. So this is the time we're in. Are we taking possession of the kingdom? Are we receiving our thrones? Are we coming back to that place of government that God has released us into? This is because what Jesus has done, he has made way for us to come back into those places, because the judgment has been made. Favor has been passed for us. As a result of that judgment, we can rightfully take up our positions of government. Verse 27, then the sovereignty and dominion and greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints, of the Highest One. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him. And this is our role, to bring the world into a position of relationship with God, to reconcile the world to God. And we've been given that ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors of that ministry. Therefore, the kingdom and what God's desire is, that dominion, is not to put people into subservience as slaves, but to release them into their positions in sonship, so that they will see that they have the responsibility as sons to bring creation back into order and bring the restoration of all things. And this will continue until it's done, until every knee has bowed and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God. Revelation 3, 1, 21. And there are scriptures about thrones in the New Testament as well. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as also I overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. How do you overcome? Die. Jesus went to the cross to overcome. We take up that cross and follow him by denying ourselves, dying to self. That's how we overcome. I will be able to grant him to sit down with me on my throne. That is our position when we embrace the purification, transformation, renewing of our mind, so that we are in that position of being able to occupy that throne and be in authority in it, because we've matured and come into a position of sonship, lordship, kingship, sonship, maturing from slavery, from stewardship to friendship and beyond. That is the process. How do we overcome? By embracing that process of transformation. We're in him. It's not by our own efforts. We overcome by being in him, by being in his life. He enables us to do that by embracing, I have been crucified with him. It's no longer I who live, but Christ now lives in me. Revelation 24, and I saw thrones, and they were sat on, judgment was given to them. So again, judgment in relation to us on those thrones, as well as God on the throne. He has put us, because we are there to judge angels, and judgment is being given. Revelation 20:11, and I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, upon whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found to him. This was a demonstration of the awesome nature of God, and God's desire actually is to draw people to himself. It's people who flee from him because they're looking at themselves and not looking at Jesus. Revelation 4:2. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. This is what we normally call the throne room, and there are things that are associated with that which are symbolic of government. Verse 4, around the thrones were 24 thrones. Upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed with white garments, golden crowns on their heads, symbols of government. Verse 4, again, those 24 elders. Verse 6, before the throne there was something like a glass sea, or like crystal in the center. Around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and back. So the four living creatures representing the four faces of God, lion, ox, eagle, man, representing the government of the order of Melchizedek before the throne. Verse 5, out from the throne came flashes and lightnings and sounds and peals of thunder, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne, there was something like the crystal sea. So those seven spirits of God, those four living creatures, are governmental. The seven spirits of God are helping us to understand and mature into those positions of government. Thrones are waiting for us to be mature enough to come into those positions to use them. We may have a throne at one level that gives us a certain level of authority, but that will increase as we understand our identity, our position, and therefore the authority that we carry. So judgment is really key, and we look at this whole area. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. The dead were judged from the things that were written in the books of life according to their deeds. So there's a sense of judgment, and we need to again understand the nature of judgment, because I believe God is going to give revelation of what these verses mean from a perspective when we understand this loving kindness, when we understand his covenant love, when we understand the nature of justice. So what happens in judgment? A verdict. that releases justice. That's what happens. And we'll see what that will be as we learn to engage God more. Colossians 2:13, when you were dead in your transgressions and your uncircumcision. So the books have been opened. People are being judged on the basis of their deeds. He made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. He is taking it out of the way, nailed it to the cross. When he has disarmed the rulers, authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him, through Christ. So what Jesus did on the cross was to deal with every obstacle that was outstanding as a legal right that the enemy could use to keep us from him, from relationship. It was hostile to us, but it's taken out of the way and it's been nailed to the cross. And now the power of the enemy to keep us from God in relationship has been removed. So now for everybody, there's an opportunity of coming into a relationship with God on the basis of what Jesus did on the cross. And when those judgments are made and when the books are open, the flip side of the case, if you like, in the judgment is all certificates of cancellation of debts has been accomplished already in Christ. Revelation 21:3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be on them. And this is the whole purpose of God's desire, is that we would be one, and heaven and earth will be reconciled, that the earth will be back into its first estate, that we are back into the center of God's purposes, and that we will begin to see an expansion of that kingdom out into the universe as the created order and all the dimensions that exist. Verse 5, and he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. He said, write these words, for these words are faithful and true. God is making all things new. He will restore all things back to himself. That's his purpose. Here's another throne associated more with the pathway of relationship than responsibility, but it's a throne that we have access to. Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence. Or another version says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. So the throne of grace is not the same as the throne in the temple or the throne room. It is a throne that is specifically for us to come and receive grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's where we come and rest in him, where we sit on his lap, where we feel the rhythm of his heartbeat, where we feel and sense that sense of peace in him, that he has it all taken care of. So where we stop striving and struggling to sort things out, where we end being weary and heavy laden because we're trying to sort it out in our own strength, we can come to the throne of grace, that place of governmental authority in the situations of our lives, that those circumstances when we rest, he rules and he establishes and works for us on our behalf, because the battle belongs to the Lord. And this is a place where we need to come with confidence, knowing that we're not coming in our own righteousness or in our own strength, but we're coming through the access that God has opened up and given us this invitation to come, to engage. Rest and relationship from the confidence of knowing God intimately and personally frees us from the striving and struggling to do things in our own strength. So the construct of our spirit is a mountain, symbolic of authority, and is a dwelling place, a house of God, and there's a throne there. Who's on the throne? And this is the key. Have we abdicated the throne of our life so that we can invite the Father to be on our throne, and then in him we can learn to rule as he fathers us in sonship? Our actual spirit is a place of governmental authority. God's kingdom resides within our spirit. Do we open the access to the kingdom to fill us and for God's government to be outside of that realm of the kingdom, but that the kingdom will expand in us and his government will expand in us when we open the first love gate and invite him to come and be enthroned in our life? So God has called us to rule as his sons, but we surrender the rule of our own life to him, that then he can equip us to rule and occupy those thrones and positions of authority. So every one of us is a mountain, a place of authority. God dwells on our mountain, in our spirit so that we can reflect the heavenly realms. And when God is on the throne, then heaven recognizes our governmental authority so that we can take positions on the thrones. So as a mountain, we are a position of heavenly authority. That's our position of sonship. It's like not a just a physical thing or a spiritual thing. It is who we are. Therefore, we have a position of authority, and that throne that's there represents that position. Each of us has a throne on our mountain. It's where we are, it's who we are, seated in authority. There are mountain ranges in the heavenly realms with different aspects, different mountains, different thrones, our own seven mountains and other mountains associated with our own life, whether we're individually sat on those mountains on the thrones, or whether we're corporately on those thrones with others. They are positions of government that we have. There are thrones that are there that we need to learn how to occupy and learn how to function and learn how to minister into. Each of the mountains where our governmental spheres are under our throne, our position or seat of government in the heavenly realms, where we administrate the kingdom of God. We don't have to go throne hopping. It's like our throne is mobile and accesses the mountains, which are our positions in authority. The mountains that we have represent the redemptive governmental aspects of our destiny, those things that we are supposed to rule and establish the kingdom through. Those spheres of authority are our destined role in the manifestation of sonship, which will bring about creation's restoration. It is who we are destined to be. The lights, the light of the world, the luminaries, to bring back light into the darkness. The kingdom is to advance outwards in an ever-increasing, expanding governmental outworking to see God's kingdom, a kingdom of love, of justice, of righteousness, outworked practically in our lives, through our lives, around us, in our spheres of government. So we have been blessed already with everything we need, but it needs to be accessed in the heavens. We need to therefore to be raised up, seated with Christ in the heavens. We need to take those positions of government. We need to occupy those seats, those thrones, and then we need to start to rule. Psalm 24:7, lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. So there's a sense where heads represents authority. So we need to be lifted up to those positions of authority. Gates represents access points so that we have access in and out, and that heaven has an access out through us. Everlasting doors are where heaven touches earth, and therefore there's an administration that's not just through us, but through the realms of heaven, through the atmosphere. Therefore, there's roles where we have to understand the atmosphere as well when it comes to thrones. So we have in our own lives, let's say in the kingdom of God, the area where I'm learning to be operating in lordship under the kingship and government of God. I am a lord. I'm on a throne. That's on a mountain. That has a scroll of destiny attached to it. I have access to various courts to enable me to fulfill that role. Mobile court, court of war, court of angels. I have my seven mountains beneath that, which are my spheres of government, family, workplace, finance, business, gifting, ministry, whatever they might be for you. And there may be others that you may have joint responsibility to be part of. Locality, area, city, nation, church, embassy. Many, many things you might have responsibility for within the kingdom. Now, what we find is there's spiritual opposition that seeks to block, hinder, usurp our authority. It becomes a battleground. Just because we have a position doesn't mean that we have full authority. We have to deal with those things that we may have given the authority of the enemy to usurp and hinder and block our government. Now, you know, when we remove that, then the government is ours to administrate. If we don't administrate it, then we find that those things will start to come back and reoccupy. Ultimately, we need to have responsibility for everlasting doors that are connected with our spheres, whether individual or corporate. So we have this sort of picture of we think of dragons and giants and various things, and they're symbolic representation of those spiritual forces that seek to usurp our authority. We give them legal rights through our words and actions. We worship them as idols that we set up in place of God. Fear, insecurity, rejection are the idols that usurp our authority. Whenever we trust the enemy more than we trust God, we are worshiping an idol. Fear is an idol. Insecurity is an idol. Rejection, they're all idols. And there are many others that we have cooperated with, and therefore they usurp our authority. We need to remove those idols. How do we do that? By engaging in intimacy and knowing who we are in relationship with God, by being restored, by being reconciled, by being renewed. Therefore, we don't operate from those positions. We are above, not below. Zechariah 3:7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if you'll walk in my ways, if you'll perform my service, you will govern my house, you will have charge of my courts, and I will grant you free access among these who are standing here in the courts and the assemblies of God in different realms. So we know that there are different courts. Some of these courts have within them thrones. Some of them have benches or seats of government. And we need to understand how they function and how they work so that we can understand whether we're supposed to be seated in those positions or whether we're supposed to present ourselves to those positions. So there are thrones and benches in many courts, court of the councils of the fathers, God's throne, and 24 thrones of the elders, 12 and 12, making up that fullness of gold anew coming together. Court of the kings, it's like thrones, like benches that, you know, you can sit at and therefore legislate, make rule, make laws and things. The court of councillors, when I engage it, is like a bench. You know, sometimes I've been seated at that bench administrating others. Sometimes I present things to that bench. It's like a position of government, which is more like a judge position rather than a king position. But they're all positions of government. Court of judges, it's like benches there and thrones there. It's almost like there are thrones where the judges are seated, but there is a bench that we come and we engage. Court of 70 as seats of government. God's mobile throne sometimes appears in many different places. His throne turns up because it's mobile. Wheels within wheels within wheels. So there are thrones, benches of authority within the angelic realm. And if you engage in the canopy of angels, you'll find that there are different things there which are governmental. Also, there are three positions of authority within the atmosphere, three benches within the atmosphere. Colossians 1:16, by him all things were created, both in the heavens, on the earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things been created through him and for him. It's a description of some of the different positions, seats of government, thrones. The angelic realm has many different realms and many different canopy areas, and therefore there are some of these thrones and dominions within those realms, but also in the atmosphere. There are angelic beings assigned to the atmosphere. They have roles in the atmosphere. There are three levels of authority in the atmosphere. There are benches in the atmosphere over our particular areas, spheres, the everlasting doors. We need to learn to administrate with them, engage with them, function with them, assign them, and clear the atmosphere so that they can be engaged there. Principalities, powers, rulers, authorities, they're not bad things. It's just when they're occupied by the wrong angelic beings, then those things influence and control things on the earth, and they influence culture and various things, and we need to administrate above them, deal with those things in the realm of the kingdom of God, whether it be dragons or giants or various things, so that we can then deal with the atmosphere and see the right thrones established there. Now, there is a process for us to come into governmental authority: investiture, succession, enthronement, and coronation. Investiture has already taken place. This happens when we're saved and we're invested with the right of sonship. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. That's when we were given our robes of righteousness, we were given our access to come into the realms of heaven. Although we may not have understood it, it is positionally ours as a son of God, as a child of God. But there needs to be a succession that takes place. For an old monarch has to either abdicate or die for the new monarch to come forward. What is that succession? Well, it's us essentially surrendering, yielding, giving the throne of our life to God himself, so that we can come into our positions of authority. It's denying ourselves, taking up the cross and following him, being crucified with Christ, embracing being living sacrifices, so that we operate in the realm of the spirit and not in the realm of the flesh. That process goes on. Then there's a private enthronement that takes place where people are given, you know, the actual position privately. They're in a private ceremony. They actually become the monarch, and they're given the scepter and the crown and the mantle and the various things. But there is also then a public coronation where people see it on the earth. And I believe that there will be a coronation that takes place that we come into when we're invested with the fullness of sonship on the earth from those positions of government and enthronements in the heavens. That's a position of a picture of our queen with her crown and scepter and orb and the mantle and the throne. So when you engage that, you see that functioning, you begin to see the different aspects of what we receive when we come into those positions. So as we engage our mountains, we're enthroned with a crown, mantle, scepter, orb. We take our position of heavenly authority in those realms, lordship, legislating mandates and laws, kingship, creating mandates and laws and operating in them, sonship, engaging in the assemblies and councils of God and functioning in different roles and realms in heaven. We can begin to legislate when we're in that position of authority. We need to know our position, our identity, and then that releases authority. The angelic realm comes around the throne where God is seated, and when God is seated on our throne and we're seated on the throne in heaven, then the angelic realm will come around us, and they have, within those different canopy areas, they have their own orders, and therefore you engage them, you can actually see what the benches and thrones are within their orders. So to recap, great white throne, Revelation 20, throne room, Revelation 5, throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16, temple throne, Isaiah 6, the Ancient of Days thrones, Daniel 7, where we're seated by the right hand of the Father. There are seats, thrones, benches within the different courts. Individually, corporately, we have thrones that are associated with our mountains. We therefore need to learn to engage them, embrace them, and operate from them. So the royal priesthood of the order of Melchizedek are the two offices that require thrones in the heavens, a priest as well as a king. Hebrews 8:1. Now the main point in what has been said is this: we have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. So it wasn't just a kingly seat, it was also a priestly seat, and those two work together to form an ark. So on the earth you get the apostolic and prophetic foundations that comes from the fullness of the order of Melchizedek, lion, ox, eagle, man. Revelation 8:3, another angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden censer. Much incense was given to him so that he might add it to the prayers of the saints on the golden altar, which was before the throne. There's something which we'll learn, I think, to engage more in and understand, is the connection to what goes on the earth and what is we call prayers, and this golden altar and this censer before the throne. It's a position that is before God's throne, and I think there's a part to play in that. Ezekiel 10:1, and I looked, and behold, in the expanse that was over the heads of the cherubim, something like a sapphire stone in appearance resembling a throne appeared above them. So there is a sense where this sapphire cube, which was the tablets, where the order of Metatron's cube, which is governmental spheres, they come and resemble thrones or positions of authority. And I do believe we'll start to engage more of that and understand the position of these governmental dimensional spheres as we come into maturity and understand our positions in the heavens. So what do you do from these thrones? You're there seated, you have your mantle, you have your scepter, you have your crown. Well, you're in a position of rest. You're seated. You're not jumping up and down. You're not frantically trying to do something. You're in a position of dominion, authority, and you can have that dominion over whatever chaos is operating around you. Rest and exercise authority. Begin to decree and declare the rule of God. Call forth transformation, change. Call for favor and blessing and provision. Frame your life by decreeing your destiny. still the storms, decree peace, use the keys of the kingdom to unlock and lock situations. We need to take authority to change the situations around us so they are subject to us because we're operating from above. To call things that be not as if they are. That's how God created things. And this is a creative role in sonship, that we can start to call things in alignment with destiny in what was, to be established in what is, so that we release them so that they will become what will be. We can assign angels, so many other things you can do from those positions, but make sure it's your spirit leading you, not your soul. Don't come up with a list of things and try and work through them. Let your spirit inspire the flow that will outwork that government, your position, who you are in the heavens. Revelation 22:1. This is the end of the book, if you like. And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God on the Lamb. This is continual. This is not something that is going to happen. It's already happening. We need to embrace that, embrace the flow, embrace the fact that it's flowing from the throne. It's a governmental flow of life. That life flows from God's government, the kingdom, and we're responsible as sons to bring his government, release his life from heaven into the earth through our administration of that life, our administration of his government, our administration and expanding of his kingdom. We need to take responsibility and we need to outwork that practically. Okay, there. So we've seen there are many different places, many different engagements. So it'd be good to engage. Let's engage there. Let's look to see from a heavenly perspective those things, and we're just going to ask God to and Jesus to lead you into some of these encounters and places. You may not have actually been on your own mountain and been invested with that authority and enthroned. We're going to do that. If you've been enthroned already, then you can take your seat and you can begin to administrate and ask Jesus just to take you to show you some of these other thrones and to show you how you interact with them, what are the protocols, how they work. Okay, so we have an open heaven. We have an invitation to come up here, and we can accept that invitation as Jacob's ladder. There's a door standing open in heaven. Just hear the invitation to come up here. Walk through those steps, through the veil, into the realm of the kingdom. Jesus is standing in the doorway. He's waiting for us. We can present ourselves to him as a living sacrifice. Just turn the desires of our hearts towards government and thrones. Just be willing to embrace your destiny. Jesus, just lift people up to that place. Just lead them, guide them, take them by the hand. Take them through the veils. Just give them that mandate, that authority to come into their positions of government within the realms of heaven, that they would come to their mountain. Just let Jesus take you to your mountain. If you've been there before, just take your seat. If not, just look and see the angel that's there. You can engage with that angel. It's a point of reference for you in this position of government. Now just let Jesus show you your throne, take your place, your seat, and let Jesus invest you with the authority that you are now enthroned, to give you a crown, a mantle, a scepter, and an orb. He may give you other things. Just take your place. Hear his words of affirmation of your enthronement, your position as a son within the realms of the kingdom. From there, you can perceive the other ranges of mountains that are around. Just spend some time just engaging there. Thank you. I just ask, Jesus, that you would just take each person and show them the different thrones, the different places in the realms of heaven, the different benches of government and the protocols of those governments. Just guide, direct, and lead each person. Unveil those realms. Give insight and understanding to those positions and those places of authority in the realms of heaven. Thank you.